Joined now, though, by project lead out of Thriving Southland, Richard Kite joins us once again on the muster. Good afternoon, Richard.
Afternoon, Andy. Good to catch up.
Yeah, always great to catch up with the team at Thriving Southland and all the work that you guys have been doing over the last couple of years. And it has been a busy couple of years as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. From when we started right back at the beginning, and then we went right into COVID and then out and into it with all these catchment groups. Yeah, I say we started, I think when we started, there were 18 catchment groups and there are 35 now. And, you know, in a very short, it's about 3 years that's happened. That's quite a big shift. Yeah.
So was COVID more or less the driver for the catchment groups to get in place after a refocus? Or how did they actually come about, Richard?
Oh, no, the catchment groups were, I suppose there have always been catchment groups there. As, you know, farmers have been doing stuff for a long time, but 2012 they started, and in a response, I think it was a response to regulation, and then NZ Landcare Trust took over, and from that in 2018, Thriving Southland, it came together from a group of cross-sectoral farmers who were saying we need to be a positive way forward and we need a bit more resource put into this. Yeah.
So as far as the number of catchment groups go, it's, what was it, 35 or some number like that, isn't it?
Yeah, 35, 36 keeps moving. it's fascinating, actually, Andy. That, you know, we started out and we thought there'd be you know, six or on each main river catchment, and they've kind of broken down around their own communities and their own people and people they know, and their own challenges. So, in you know, looking at their own farms and their particular areas, and I think, you know, that's been really important. That's what it's about. It's about communities looking at their own opportunities within the catchment.
The big thing's getting buy-in from farmers themselves, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I think we've always focused on ground up. It's got to be what the farmers want to do and what their communities want to do, not us saying, you know, this is what we think you should be doing. So we're there to, we've been there, I suppose, just putting, when they ask for information, science, whatever they're looking for or support, that Thriving's role has just been there to actually promote all of that so they can actually get on and do the job and get involved with what they're interested in without having all the admin, et cetera, that sits around a lot of projects.
And with all these groups too, I mean, depending on the area you're on, you'll have different topography and everything else, so everybody's going to have different goals as to what they want to attain through those groups.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's really important. You know, Pete, you can't just, it's not a one-size-fits-all, and by breaking into the smaller groups, they're looking at the, and we, you know, you find that people on different sides of some of the bigger groups broke down around, you know, we're the hill country and you're the flats, or and really it's worked really well, actually. Yeah.
As far as catchment group size goes, you say there's 35. Is there room to pivot or manoeuvre and get more in there, or do you think the number's what you've got and it's a matter of working with what's involved?
Yeah, well, we've got about 90% of the sort of primary sector productive land covered in Southland, so I think what we're finding now is some of the groups are starting to work together on, so they might be part of the Matara. The Eparima's had a group called ACE, has been working together now for quite a few years, and the Matara groups are looking at working together. So working on their own thing in their own space, but actually saying, well, how does it all work together? Yeah.
From your viewpoint, Richard, being project lead there at Thriving Southland, for you personally, what's been the most satisfying thing regarding catchment groups?
I just think it's, I shouldn't say it surprised me really how when you give people the information they need and the resource to help them get on with it, it's just been really satisfying to watch these groups, you know, run some pretty technical projects, and they're in boots and all with it. And as I say, I think it's just giving people the opportunity, but not putting the burden on them. Yeah.
And I think it could have been a cynical mindset from farmers when it first started up, when thinking, oh, what's all this about? But once they get involved now, and we know that things have changed on farm too, and the work that farmers are doing around waterways and everything, RMAs, for example, they're doing what they need to do to preserve the environment on their piece of land, and it's fantastic to see.
Oh, it is, and I think as well they've also grown, and it's not just about water. They look at, you know, we've got groups looking at greenhouse gas farm systems, You know, it's just looking at the whole piece of the puzzle. You know, it's hard to separate one piece out, and farmers and farm systems, they think in a whole, in the whole system. And you're seeing that in catchment groups with all the different projects that are covering. And I suppose the benefit when people get involved and they sort of see a pathway forward, which is pretty hard to see at times in amongst all the policy, etc.
Yeah. And just finally, Richard, when you look to the future for the catchment groups, what do you think it holds?
Oh, look, I think it's about communities taking ownership in the path, in the way forward. And I think, you know, it's a long game. It's not a short game. So it's about, people getting involved and, you know, people having a break as well. You don't have to be, it's not about having meetings for meetings' sake, but it's about actually, you know, grabbing the stuff that really interests you and is really relevant. And I can see, you know, you see it happening all the time now. So it's, I think it's a positive way forward. Yeah,
absolutely. Richard Kite, Project Lead for Thriving Southland. Always great to have you guys on the muster. Enjoy the rest of the day. Appreciate your time.
Cheers. Thanks, Andy. Have a good afternoon.